5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's really hard to believe that it's been 15 Septembers since the attacks on the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and the plane that went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania occurred. I mean, what a day that was. We'll all remember it. But I guess the question is, where are we today? Because that began the war against terrorism in a new and significant way. And joining us here on the line is Mario Mancuso, former DOD official who was responsible for many years for fighting the war against terrorism, to see how far we've come and what still needs to be done. Good morning, Mr. Mancuso. Good to have you.
Good morning, Brian.
Okay, so look, we changed the way we look at the world after 9/11, and we began looking at terrorism in a different way. How have we improved? What still needs to be done as we go forward?
You know, Brian, I think as I reflected on your introduction and how you framed this, I think in many respects the bigger pieces are how are we as a country, as citizens, engaged, and where are we politically. But in terms of the actual capabilities we have in government, I think 15 years later, and frankly, lots of losses later, and billions of dollars later, I do think we're safer today, at least against the kinds of attacks that were mounted against us on 9/11. The challenge we face, however, is that the threat of terrorism today in 2016 is different than it was that September day that we're recalling this weekend.
Well, polling shows, and thank you so much for joining us, that Americans today, 42% of them, feel that their country is less safe than it was before 9/11, which is up significantly. In 2014, it was just 27%. Now it's 42%. How do we kind of get that message out that, you know, we are a safer country and there are people working overtime 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to protect us from another 9/11 style attack while also acknowledging that these, quote, lone wolf attacks are very real and a threat that needs to be dealt with?
Yeah, I think those numbers, I know those numbers came out, I think from Gallup recently, I think those numbers actually suggest a lot about how we feel. For example, the world is probably more dangerous today. And by that, I mean not just with respect to terrorism, but you think of just this morning, there was a nuclear test by North Korea, obviously what's happening in Syria, an ascendant China, Russia, you name it. You can go down the list of countries that are challenging us. So in an aggregate sense, I think Americans have reason to be concerned. That said, with respect to terrorism, I do think we're safer. And I think, Katie, with respect to how do we get there, that's where leadership matters. That's where political leadership matters. That's where presidential leadership matters, to generate the conviction by the American people that we are, in fact, safer today, not that we should be complacent. So I think the feelings that Americans have, I don't want to say that they're wrong, because I don't think they're wrong, but we live in a fundamentally different world, and we have to solve all of those problems, not just one of them.
I want to ask you about one of the main things we learned after 9/11 by the 9/11 Commission said part of the problem was that the intelligence communities, and there are all these different agencies that do a different part of the intelligence game, that they weren't sharing information one with the other. And there was what was called at the time stovepiping of information. We have this little bit of information, and we're looking at it, and we have it, and we're analyzing it, but we're not sharing it with others. Now, that was a major criticism, and I suspect that there's still some of that going on. What is your sense of it?
I think there is still some of that going on, but I think, frankly, Brian, I think that's a lot better. Just a couple of some data points. At around 9/11, there were probably two or three dozen fusion centers that we have around the country where multiple agencies get together, multiple U.S. agencies, federal and state and local agencies get together and share information. The number of those fusion centers has basically tripled in 15 years. Mm. In addition, today we have the National Counterterrorism Center in metropolitan Washington that on a national level integrates data and intelligence and produces analyses for policymakers. So it's never going to be perfect because it's funny, humans act like humans, but our ability to gather intelligence, witness the Patriot Act, our ability to fuse intelligence, witness sharing, I think has markedly improved, and that's a good thing. Now, we've had fits and starts along the way in 15 years, and query whether or not politically there is still the appetite to do the kinds of things that I personally feel we need to do to ensure that we keep our homeland safe and our people safe.
One of the talking points is that the country is war weary and they don't want to get involved in another war. But do the American people have to accept that terrorism is a long ball game and that there are certain realities to living in a dangerous world that do involve conflict and the United States, quite frankly, going to war, but in a different sense than state actors going up against each other, but rather more guerrilla-type warfare and ISIS being the main issue at this point in time?
I think the short answer is yes. I think we do have to accept it, just given our interests, given our security profile, and given how much our way of life really depends upon America being engaged in the world. One of the interesting points is if you poll Americans and you ask, should America be engaged in the world, I mean, the numbers obviously change, but typically those numbers are pretty low. It almost seems as if we as Americans have assumed that being engaged in the world necessarily means the same thing as being interventionist. And they're different. So American leadership matters. Certainly we should be sparing and frugal in the use of force for those situations where force matters and makes a difference and other options don't really work. But America needs to be engaged in the world because we are more safe when we're leading than when we're in a defensive crouch.
You know, it's been 15 Septembers since this occurred. And as time passes and we get further away from the events of that day, there are more and more people whose memories fade about what we went through as a nation that day. There are a whole group of kids who've come into being who, really mm-hmm. don't remember much about 9/11. Weren't even born in some cases. You know, do you fear that the American people will lose sight of the lessons of that day?
Brian, I wish I could tell you no, but the truth is I do have that fear. Mm-hmm. But I largely have that fear because I truly believe we're an exceptional nation. Mm-hmm. We live on a patrimony of Americans that built over three centuries. And our founders knew that for our country to thrive in the way that they envisioned, each one of us would embrace the responsibility to be actively engaged. I think we should do that anyway. I think we should certainly do that when people attack us and when our country faces threats. I'm not certain, however, that we all, and I would include myself in this, right?
Right.
You know, all of us are part of this. We all take it as seriously as we should. So I have that fear, but at the end of the day, I tend to look at things through the eyes of a doctor, not a mortician.
Well, we're going to have to leave it right there.
We're going to have to do it.
Thank you so much. I think beautifully put. Mario Mancuso, former DOD official, joining us here this morning, 15 years after September 11th, 2001.
It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help, and you want to be there. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care. Or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour. Plus, access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's-level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code PODCAST20 for 20% off your initial Care.com subscription. That's PODCAST20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.